Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. This is episode 5. Welcome to our Twilight Special Spectacular. Woo! Thanksgiving Twilight Spectacular. And today we're going to be discussing how Twilight was a game changer for both of us.
Yeah.
It literally changed our lives, and make fun of us all you want from that statement. Once you hear our, we'll be able to unfold our stories today so you can understand where we're coming from there.
Our harrowing adventures in the Twilight verse.
Harrowing?
Yes.
That sounds like dramatic.
I'm trying to make it dramatic.
Happy Black Friday. Happy Thanksgiving. We timed this because Twilight feels like a Thanksgiving event, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, historically, almost every Twilight movie came out around Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving, besides Eclipse, which came out on June 30th or July 30th? June 30th.
It was June, yeah.
Yeah, June 30th. And I remember we still call it like Twivember, because it was just like the whole month was just like getting ready for the Twilight movies. So this month always feels like it's a Twilight time of year.
Yeah. I mean, all of my memories that like pop up on Facebook and like Twitter sometimes are like Twilight related, like New Moon today or like Twilight today. Oh my God, Twilight merch, like all sorts of random Twilight shit that I stated very embarrassingly on my Facebook
all status. The time. You know, it wasn't just you. It was everyone. It was me too. So.
All right. Well, before we move into our big discussion today, I mean, today, so it's a special. And since we have so much Twilight stuff to talk about, we're not doing our normal news and what right now segments and Avatar segments. So those will be back next week. This is our like Thanksgiving fun Twilight special. Mm-hmm. And we just don't want to go on and on for like 4 hours because we know that we have a lot of Twilight stuff to discuss. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, we wanted to thank our new patrons. We are so grateful for everyone supporting this podcast. We want to say a special thank you to Courtney, Gemini, Kristen, Lulu, Tiffany, Isabel, Katie, Brittany, and Emma. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. For those of you who don't know, we have a Patreon where there are lots of fun perks. Our big one being our half an hour extra show every week called Fangirl Tea Time, where we talk about more personal stories. And there are lots of other perks up on our site. And you don't have to support. You don't have to be a patron. You don't have to be a patron to support the pod. Natasha, how else can they support the pod?
You guys can tell a friend. You can rate us and review us on any of the podcast apps. Spotify or Apple are the two popular ones. And, you know, share on social media as well. If you can tweet about it, you know, for however long we have Twitter, or talk about us on Instagram story. We appreciate any and all support.
We really, really do. And make sure you're following the pod for free on your favorite podcast app. That is super helpful. So we make sure that our shows are getting out to you every week. And you can follow us on YouTube now. That's where we're going to be posting our visual versions of our episodes. So we've been we've been thus far posting them on our channels, but now we're going to be posting them on the Those Forking Fangirls YouTube channel. So if you like watching the show rather than listening to it, that is where it is. Make sure you subscribe over there. And when you're watching, like right now, click the like button. That is enormously helpful. Like all these little interactions do so much for the pod. So thank you so much. We are so appreciative.
I love our visual version because we actually get to see comments from people because usually, you know,
it's so weird not getting comments.
Like, we put a show out and we're like, what does everyone think? And then I'm like, at least I can go to YouTube and I can see people talking and having conversations within the comment section.
Yeah. And I love when people comment in the Patreon so that we can see them discussing. But it's so different than like when you put up anything on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram where you get feedback, and we put up this enormous show where we talk about so many things, and it's like, does anyone have thoughts? So we love when you interact with us in any way. If you don't want to like post on those, email us thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com. like, we love engaging with you guys. We want to talk to you, not just at you. So please, if you have thoughts or feelings, like, let us know or just hit the like button. Let's move on in to our big Twilight discussion. We're going to start from the very beginning because it's a very good place to start. And I'm going to ask you, what is the first time you heard the word Twilight in relation to this book series? And I feel like it's after me, so I don't know if you want to
feel like
throw
you
it back
should
to me,
go first.
You think I should go first? Because
your timeline is
my
more
timeline
skewed.
Is a little before.
When did you hear about Twilight?
When did I hear about Twilight? Now this like, I can trace my life now back to this core pivot point of Twilight.
Same.
Which is insane. I was listening to MuggleCast. I used to work at my dad's office, and what I would do there every day.
How old were you?
File. Okay, well, I started working there when I was 16 for 2 hours after school every day, and that's where I discovered podcasts. Because the seventh Harry Potter book was coming out. I wanted to talk about the books with somebody. So I found Pottercast and MuggleCast. And to get me through those hours, I would listen to those podcasts because I was doing filing. And if you've ever done filing work, it is some of the most boring work you will ever do. And I had stacks and stacks of files, like dating all the way back to the beginning of the company that I was putting in these filing cabinets. So I was listening to MuggleCast all the time, and so this was like a year later or 2 years later, once I could drive. 16 in New Jersey, you're not allowed to drive by yourself. Once I got my license, every lunch I would get the hell out of there and sit in the parking lot of like Taco Bell and read a book and eat my Taco Bell. And so I was listening to MuggleCast one day, and they started talking about Twilight and how a lot of people are talking about it, and it kind of, you know, rang a bell in my brain because one of my friends in high school had mentioned that she read these books called Twilight. And that's all I had heard until this MuggleCast episode, when they were like, oh, a lot of people are talking about this new Twilight book and it's getting really popular. And this is probably, it's in 2008. So it's right after I graduated high school and I'm working in the summer. And it's probably like May, June. And I go to Target when I finish my book that I'm reading, because that is where I get my books. It's right near the office, so I can go during my lunch hour. And I stop in front of this book with the apple and the hands because it looks familiar. I feel like I've just seen the cover around. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is Twilight. This is that book they were talking about on MuggleCast. This is, my friend read this book. So I buy it. And then I sit in my car, eating my fucking Taco Bell, reading Twilight, being like, what is the big whoop with this book? And I didn't have that much time left that day. So I read like the first 30 pages in the bathtub that night. And I was just like, I don't get it. Why is everyone obsessed with this? Then we got to the good parts. Like, then they started talking about mountain lions. And I was hooked. I started to fall for
mountain lions hooked you. So wait, I'm confused about the timeline here. Like, what year was this?
Okay, so this is the beginning ish of 2008. So it's either like May or June of 2008.
Got it. So it's right before Breaking Dawn.
So Breaking Dawn came out August 4th, 2008.
Yes.
So it wasn't out yet once I started these books. And I didn't know anything about the movie until after I had started reading it. But I didn't look at the movie until after I had read the book. I did not look at the trailer because I didn't want anyone ruining the images in my head, you know? Yes. So do you want to tell us about when you first heard about Twilight?
Yeah. So I didn't start hearing about Twilight literally till right before Breaking Dawn was coming out. So this was like July of 2008. My best friend, Abby.
Wait. How old were you? We should have those markers.
Okay. So this was, this is July 2008. I was going into my freshman year of high school. So I was 14. Okay. So it was the summer high school.
Yeah, so it was like right after high school. Wow, we're like in, you're the going into high school and I'm going into college.
It's crazy.
Okay, continue.
So I mean, Abby had read them in middle school. And she like didn't tell me about.
Abby's your best friend.
Abby's my best friend. Yeah, she didn't tell me about them. And I was like, what the heck, Abby? She's the one who shared Taylor Swift with me. She's the one who like got me into so many things.
Wow.
I know.
Taylor Swift too.
Yeah. I distinctly remember we were at high school church camp. So this is like our freshman year at church camp. And, you know, you go off to like a lake for a week and you're just with like a bunch of high school friends. And everyone is talking about how Breaking Dawn is coming out the day we get back and how they're all going to go and get it that night at midnight. And I'm like, wait, what is this? Like, excuse me. And I just remember like Abby and like a bunch of our friends in the same grade were like all walking back from the lake and they're talking about like what's going to happen with Bella and Edward. And like, so I was like,
oh my God,
I was like spoiled a little bit because that had like stuck in my head about how like Edward and Bella were together and how like they were getting married. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, because I overheard it, but I wasn't a part of the conversation. So that's when I first started hearing about it. It was all through like church camp. And
okay.
Yeah. And I wasn't a big reader. So I just didn't have a lot of interest in like picking up the book. But it had intrigued me. And so that's kind of when I start. I didn't read the books. I mean, should I go into when I read them or should I wait?
No, let's wait because I have something to add here.
Yeah.
Because I also, so I loved reading, but I didn't ever know what books I would like. So I would go into the bookstore and get a book and like hope that I was going to like it. But I would try to read it. And, you know, if you don't like a book, it's really hard to slog through it. Mm. So I would end up stopping a lot. And I had two series or authors that I would know that I would love. And so I would reread them all the time. So I was rereading Dan Brown's books just all the time. And I was rereading Harry Potter all the time because I didn't know ever that I was going to like anything else. And I would buy it and I wouldn't like it. I just didn't know which ones. I had no system. I didn't know about Goodreads because it was 2008. I mean, I'm sure Goodreads probably existed, maybe. I don't know when it came into being. But I didn't. Young adult wasn't a section in the bookstore like it was after Twilight. Mm-hmm. So it probably was starting to exist, but I didn't know of it because no one told me about it. Like there was the children's section and then there was everything else. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea where to go. And I would look at other thrillers and read the occasional non-Dan Brown thriller. And sometimes I would like it. Sometimes I'd put it down. I would get random books. It was just like the wild, wild west in there.
Really?
So
I remember my mom, that summer is when I wanted to start reading, because we had gone on a couple of beach vacations, and she's like, here, read this. And it, I picked up a Danielle Steele book and much older romance books where I just don't connect with the characters. But I was trying.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And this is really sad. But I think it's true for a lot of us growing up in this time. At school, the books that we were reading were never about a teenage girl. Mm-mm. I read so many books about boys and even men. like Dan Brown, I was reading about men, and those were the people that I love those books, but you don't connect the same way as when you read something about someone your age going through very similar life. Mm-hmm. Sections. So Twilight was the first book I read about a teenage girl falling in love. It was the first romance that I read. And I mean, you could say Romeo and Juliet, but that's a sad excuse for a romance novel. There's no happy ending. It's a tragedy. There's no witty dialogue. There's no fun banter. There's nothing except sadness, angst. And they're 13. So Twilight, I connected on such an intense level for the first time because I felt like Bella. You can slip into Bella so easily, and it's not because she's a non-character. It's because she's the person that's invisible in high school. And she's the quiet girl. And she's the one who stays home and reads her books on the weekends, you know? And that was me. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that thinks that no one's going to notice her, especially this really attractive, I don't want to say popular because it's an word popular, but everyone likes him. Everyone has a crush on him because he's so hot. They're I think that's what it is.
Intrigued about him.
Enamored. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So it was complete wish fulfillment to see her be the one that was singled out. Mm-hmm. And that's the little dream of all of us quiet girls who read and are weird in high school. It's that boy we have a crush on is going to notice us. Mm-hmm. And he notices her so hard. So hard.
So hard.
So moving through Twilight here, I obviously immediately, I read this during my lunch hours. As soon as I was done, I went back to Target. I picked up New Moon. I picked up Eclipse after that. And we're going to do separate episodes for those books. So we're not going to dig into our thoughts specifically on those right now. Mm-hmm. But Breaking Dawn came out on my 18th birthday. And then I went to college and I didn't bring the books because I wanted to have a set at home. So once I got to college, I bought another set of Twilight books.
Oh my god!
And I had my college set and my home set. And one of my three roommates was also a big reader. So she had just read all the Twilight books. So we were like, oh my god, Twilight! And my two other roommates, I convinced to read the books because the movie was coming and we were all going to go to it together.
See, that's where so many people had invited me to go see the film. Abby wanted me to go see it. My Girl Scout troop wanted me to go see it. I was a Girl Scout all through my school years up until high school. And they were going to go see it with their moms. But I hadn't read it. And in my mind, I knew that I wanted to read the books before I went to go see the movie. So by the time the movie was out of theaters, I had just started reading. I plowed through them.
So question, did you see the trailer before you read the books?
In Abby's campaign to make me read Twilight, she had showed me the trailer, and I remember I was sitting in her room on her bed, and she's at her desk, she's wait, I have to show you this. And she shows me the trailer, and my first thought was hey, that's Cedric Diggory. And she's yeah. And she was so excited because she really wanted me to like it. And I was yeah, I want to read it. She goes, so are you gonna read it now? And I'm yeah, I want to read it. I just need the books. And
that's how we all were. Yes. Are you going to read it? You have to read it. Read it right now.
Her mom and her sister were in line to borrow her books, so I couldn't borrow her books. I had to wait for my mom to get them for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Did you watch the trailer?
I didn't watch the trailer until after I read the first book, or maybe I read all of them. I can't remember. Yeah, I think I might have read all of them because I have a lot of self-restraint when it comes to that because I don't want to spoil my book visions. but in between that time, my family does not read. My mom very, very seldom reads. But I was so convincing in that she had to read this book that I was obsessed with. Because once I finished these books, you know what I did next? I read these books again. I just kept reading them on a loop. And that's why I had to get my college set, because I was like, okay, I'm ready to reread Eclipse. I'm ready to reread Breaking Dawn for like the 50th time. Breaking Dawn, I just finished and read it right again right after. Like the only one I didn't reread, and it took me like 6 months to reread New Moon. But everything else on a loop. And I started listening to Twilight podcasts, and they were talking about other YA novels. And I started rereading Stephanie Meyer's blog. Stephanie Meyer recommended The Hunger Games. Stephanie Meyer recommended The Immortal Instruments, City of Glass, which she blurbed. And we all know that I am deeply entrenched in those fandoms as well. And it was by reading all these books that I discovered more YA books. I discovered the YA section. And thus wanted to talk about books with people, and thus went to eventually to the internet, but that's in the future. So we see the trailer. Mm. Do you remember your initial thoughts? We're going to watch it together right now because it brings back so much.
Yes.
Just hearing it and seeing it. I remember we watched it like in 2016 together, and we're like, oh my God, oh my God. So I'm going to play it. I guarantee even the sounds are going to be like, oh. Ready?
17.
How old are you?
17.
How long have you been 17?
Oh, my God. The editing.
A while.
With those, like, negative flashes.
Deer. When you can live forever.
She's not one of us.
Oh, my God.
That was deleted scene.
That bothered the shit out of me. She's not one of us.
I remember this.
Yes, that gave me the chills. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the look. From the world.
I'm not scared of you.
You really shouldn't have said that.
Ooh. I thought it was so cute.
Twilight.
Twinkly Twilight, twinkly.
12-12-08. It didn't come out that day. It came out 11. They changed the date.
It got changed.
They bumped it up.
Because of...
To 11-21-08, I think.
Yeah, well, it got changed, I think, because of Harry Potter and James Bond.
I watched that trailer about 10 million gajillion, million gajillion times. And then they released the scene on Apple of the... I know what you are. That's what it was. I know what you are. And like, how long have you been 17? And it had this crazy cinematography where they were like circling around them and cutting a million different shots. We all know the scene. Mm-hmm. And I was worried. I was worried. My initial thought when I saw that trailer was like, that's not Edward. Like, I had such a clear vision of who Edward was in my head that it took me a little bit to acclimate to Rob. Like, I love him now. I don't know if I love him as Edward 100%, but I love him. And I think he's, like, the look of Edward. But when I read these books, I was picturing, like, an amalgamation of, like, two guys in high school that I had crushes on. Because I slipped myself right into Bella. Like, I was Bella. This was my high school experience. That's why the book's so beautiful.
I still never do that. Like, I still never put myself in a book. It's very hard for me to do that. So when I saw the trailer, I was like, immediately I always thought Rob was handsome because I had a huge crush on him as Cedric Diggory. So I was so happy to see him in this one. And because I had already seen the trailer and every single trailer pretty much from that point on, like, he was my Edward because I didn't read them before. but I was like, yay, Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, so I never, like, again, I guess it's because I didn't like the character. I need to, like someone's personality before I think that they're attractive a lot of times. So, like, Cedric Diggory wasn't that great to me. And so I never really thought that Rob was cute. And then after this, after Rob started doing all these interviews, I thought he was so funny and so weird. And I loved him. But in the beginning, I was like, no, how could they cast him? How could they cast Keishtu instead of me? No, I didn't think they would cast me, but I was just like, that's not what she looks like. But I don't even think I was aware of how I was kind of like picturing a version of myself as Bella at the time.
With brown hair.
I was like, yeah, I mean, my hair was like dark blonde, so it was brown enough. So what were your opinions of the movie went from the trailer? Like, did you think this was going to be great or were you worried? Well, you probably weren't worried because you weren't invested in the books yet.
Yeah, I wasn't invested. I just was like, yeah, that's really cool. Like, I'm excited. I'll watch it. And I was pretty neutral to it. Like, I didn't think it looked silly. I didn't think that it was like romantic, you know. I just like wanted to read the books and get the hype. So I don't know. I just was intrigued and I thought he was cute and I was like, yeah, let's read this. What about you?
So I was a little worried. So I'm watching this from the perspective of a girl freshly enrolled in film school. Yeah. Like, I am now a film major, and I'm very conscious of all these film people's thoughts around me. Mm. At the time of the trailer, I'm just super excited. But as we got closer and closer to the movie, I was like, this has to be good. Mm. This has to be good. Like, I felt all this pressure on it. And I had convinced all of my roommates who hadn't read it and anyone I befriended at all, I was like, Twilight is amazing. You have to read it. Oh my God, it's the best thing. And there's a movie. And I checked like the websites every morning and listened to the podcast every week. And like every new interview, I was like, oh my God, look at this. Tweeting about this and tweeting about that. The Hot Topic merch came and I was like, oh my God, I have to buy. Like, I only bought one t-shirt because I was a poor college student, but I got merch. And I remember the mall tour was coming to Boston, and I really wanted to go, but I didn't want to go by myself.
I can't believe you didn't go. It's iconic.
Well, I was watching the other ones happen, and there were so many people going to them.
Yeah,
like, it's crazy. So it would be a big hassle, because it wasn't actually in the city. I would have to find transportation there through like the public transport because I was at school without a car, and I was only wanting to do that with a roommate with me. Like, I couldn't pay for a cab, it'd be like way too expensive. So my roommate though wasn't willing to miss class for the mall. So I didn't go, and I missed these crazy mall experiences where we got to meet the cast, I guess, and get a picture with them. Is that what happened here? I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened. I watched the videos, you know, after the fact, after, like, I fully became, like, an obsessive teen. And I was just like, ugh, I want to be there. If you think about it, like, I missed most of this experience. Like, I missed, like, all of, I didn't see Twilight in the theaters. Like, I got obsessed with it once everyone was like, yeah, I'm kind of like cool with it.
I think
it
you
now.
Made up
you
know, for like, it in those times.
I
though,
definitely
right?
did. I definitely did. But like, people were like already so done with it after the first movie had come out because either like it didn't live up to their expectations or they were just done with the hype.
The first movie, I got the tickets for all my roommates way ahead of time because obviously we were going on opening night. We weren't going to go at midnight because everyone had class. So we went to like the 8 o'clock show on Friday the 21st and I had my Twilight gear on. Oh yeah, I also bought the cuff.
Oh,
the Cullen Crest cuff that Edward wears. And I was wearing that. And my roommate had a Twilight shirt. I got her a Twilight shirt, the one that liked to read, who had already read Twilight, so we could be wearing them together. And my other two roommates were like more skeptical. One had finished it and one was still reading it in line. We got there 3 hours early because Twilight was already breaking all these like pre-order ticket records. I feel like everyone was getting in line super early and buying midnight tickets. Everyone was so excited. And so we got there 3 hours early, waited on this giant line. We were like the fifth people in line though. Like we were there early for this Boston movie theater. And I remember watching the movie and knowing that it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But I also wanted it to be good. Like, I wanted to defend it in every way, shape, or form, because yep. I've been following the creation of this film for months and seeing all the work that went into it. So when one of my roommates were like, it wasn't that good, I'm like, Catherine Hardwick actually has been working on the scene and really working really hard to please the fans and this and this and this and this. And I would come to its defense over and over and over again. And it was like only $1 million budget and mm-hmm. they had this much time to make it and blah, 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 blah. I would constantly come to its defense. So when in film class they used to be start the class like, did anyone see any of the new movies this weekend, I didn't actually raise my hand and say Twilight because I didn't want people to make fun of me. But
yeah,
come New Moon, I did raise my hand. But yeah, everyone was making fun of it because teenage girls were obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And it was getting so much hype. And people love to shit on something that a lot of people are excited about. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't see. The thing is, it's not for everyone.
No.
But the people it is for, it's really making an impact on them. That's why they're so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So just leave them alone and let them like it is the thing that I feel like it took a lot of people a lot of time. And still, there's people that love to, like, shit on people yeah. for liking stuff.
I think, like, we are products of that, of, like, people loving something so much that impacts their life so greatly that, like, it steers us in a way that we wouldn't have gone, you know, if it weren't for certain types of media. So people need to calm down. What were your thoughts about K-Stew as Bella?
Yeah, after the movie, the thing about the movie is when I read the book, they were funny. They had like banter that wasn't so serious all the time. So when they're like, so the lion fell in love with the lamb, I didn't picture it like, so the lion fell in love with the lamb. I was like, they were smiling and be like, so the lion fell in love with the lamb. And she was like, what a stupid lamb. But they were like, what a stupid lamb. What a sick, masochistic lion. Like, they were the most dramatic I've ever seen in my life. And because I'm so into comedy and like rom-coms and such, I casted this whole thing in my head as a much lighter, more fun book, and all their conversations had some humor to it. When while there is humor, and I think Stephenie Meyer did mean for there to be humor, and while sometimes there's humor with K-Stew and R-Pats, a lot of times they play it very, very life or death. And, yes. You gotta laugh. You gotta laugh at that sometimes. And that's why it's a lot of fun to watch these movies tongue-in-cheek. Like, we love it, but it's fun yeah. to laugh at it sometimes because it does take itself very seriously in a situation where when they're saying these words very seriously, it can be very funny because it's very melodramatic.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Teenagers are melodramatic.
They really are, especially, like, ones that are, you know, reading Jane Austen and are listening to Claire de Lune. Like, these guys yes. are
just... Those are some pretentious teens.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, I was a huge movie buff because my parents had us watching so many different films when we were younger. And so I had seen Kristen Stewart a bunch. Like, Panic Room was actually one of my favorite movies, even though it was so intense, with Jodie Foster. And that was her first role, I think. You know, I didn't know the difference between, like, you know, high femme and masculine. And I always thought, like, she wasn't, like, such a girly girl. And, you know, Bella is not really a girly girl, but I always thought she was, like, more masculine than she was feminine. So I was like, oh, okay, like, I'm excited to see her in this role. But it was, I think it was a little different of a role for her to do, because she had done, I think the only other movie I had seen her in was that Jumanji movie. Yeah, Zathura. Yeah. And I knew of her, and I was like, okay, I'm interested to see, like, what she does in this, like, high school teen romance film. Because I thought she was such a great actress, like a little like child actress.
In the movie, I feel like we all came out of it being like blinking and biting our lips and being like, Edward. Like, that's not how we pictured Bella when we read the book.
No.
She played it with her own specific K2 quirks, and we grow to love them. Like, again, it grows to be, like, a thing we love. We love to laugh and love to, like, love K2's different quirks. But when you love something so much, you project it so clearly in your brain, and it's harder to accept everything at first. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, and then the next day, obviously, I went to go see the movie again. I went with my one roommate who also really loved Twilight. And I didn't see it a million times because poor college student. So I saw it twice. And I thought that was a lot. And I think maybe when I went home with my family, I went one more time with Olivia, my sister. Mm-hmm. And she, after this, is when I got her to read New Moon, because she thought Edward Cullen was so fucking hot. And so
Did she say it that way?
Into Twilight. That is how she said it. And she read New Moon. Yes, she was in an in-school suspension. She was stuck in a room all day, but she read a book.
Wow.
And I was really proud of her.
Aww. So as soon as the movie had come out, I remember I was at church, and Abby, it was like Sunday, she hadn't seen it yet, and she was going with another friend of hers to go watch the movie, because I had already told her, I'm like, I'm not going to see this movie before I read it. And she was so excited to go see it, and then the next day at school, like, she was like, yeah, it wasn't the best. And from that point on, like, her obsession and her enthusiasm had really dwindled. And so by the time I had read it, you know, I was reading it and I was, you know, texting her and telling her all of my thoughts and opinions. Like, she was not the same person who loved Twilight before the movie.
That's so sad.
It's so sad.
And that's what happened to a lot of normals.
Yeah. Yes,
a lot
normals.
Of normals. The obsession lasted up to the movie, mm-hmm. or it lasted, like, up till a little before New Moon came out. And they were, like, quote, growing out of it. And it was so condescending when they would say it to me, because I was still obsessed with it.
Yep.
And just in love with everything about it. And even though I could accept that, like, the movie wasn't amazing, like, I could admit it, I still had that love for it, mm-hmm. because I know how much love went into it. Mm-hmm. And I was watching all the behind the scenes and, like, listening to all the creators talk about making the film and, like, really, really getting into Catherine Hardwicke, because I thought it was so cool that this woman was directing such a big film, because you never saw women in directors' roles for these big headliner films. And I was obviously, again, I was in film school. I thought at the time that I wanted to be a director because I didn't think I could be a writer. And it was Twilight that started to change my mind on that. I was like, the first time I read Twilight, or maybe it was the second time I read Twilight when I was in college, because the first time it was the summer and I wasn't thinking so much about writing. But I was starting to think that I could write a book for the first time, because I had, again, never seen a book about a girl like me. And I was like, I could do this. And I think I can do this in a way that people would really like. I could write a book about like a girl going into college or a girl who's like falling in love, because that's the stuff I love to read. And I think I could finish that. I never thought I would have the capability to finish an entire book. So when I came into film school, I was like, I want to try screenwriting because that's shorter. Like, and I think I could finish that. But yeah, Twilight completely changed my mindset on that. And that's so powerful to believe that you can do something that you once thought was like you were incapable of, and that, but you love that. You know, if there's something that you think you admire so much, but you think you could never do it, and then all of a sudden you think you can, it's such a big mind shift.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
So, Natasha.
Yes.
Christmas comes. Where do you get the DVD? Because I don't know if you've heard Natasha talk about this before. She watched it every day for a year. So when does this start? How does this happen?
So I had been begging. I wanted the books before the movie came out, and I had been begging my mom. At this time in my life, this is when like all the, we'll talk about this more, but like this is in my life where everything just started like shit hitting the fan. And like, my dad wasn't going to work. We were losing money. Like, we were losing the business. He was like the only breadwinner. So we didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, I was a freshman in high school. So she was just waiting for like a paycheck to come through to be able to get me the novels. So she didn't get me the books until Christmas. I remember we didn't put up a Christmas tree that year, and we came down for Christmas Day, and there's like a few presents out in the middle, and she had wrapped every single one. Why is this making me cry?
Oh,
sorry. She had wrapped every single one of the Twilight books and had written in them, and I was so excited, and I started reading it like that night. And I remember like going to like my family Christmas and like reading them in the car. And I was like, I was so excited to have this experience. So I blazed through like every single one of the novels, like during those 2 weeks. And I remember like coming back to school and like wanting to talk about it with everyone, because I hadn't seen anyone, and like everyone else had like had that experience, and I wanted to like just talk about the books and Edward and everything. And I had called Abby, and we had discussed it, and Abby was trying so desperately. She's like, you have to see the movie now. I need to know your thoughts on the movie, because like, you know, she came out of it so disappointed. And she had told me, she's like, watch all of the scenes on iTunes. So I had like watched all the scenes on iTunes. I had watched every little like piece of content that was out. I watched all the trailers. Like the 2 weeks of Christmas was just a masterclass in like the Twilight fandom. And I was trying, and I remember like this is the first time in my life where I tried to watch a movie illegally, and like I had almost succeeded. I think I watched the first 30 minutes, and then like the site closed it down.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I had only seen like the first half of the film, and then I didn't want to like try to do it again, because I was way too afraid of like what would happen if like the FBI was going to come to my house. And and then the DVD release. So I didn't see the movie in theater, and then finally the DVD came out like March, which was like around my birthday.
It was before streamers, so the time that you're talking about too.
Oh yeah.
So everyone has to remember, there were no streamers. Netflix was, you order a DVD and it comes in the mail. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't streaming, and it was freshman year. So 2008 is when different networks finally started putting some of their shows up online. So like Lost every season went up in preparation for the fifth season coming, so that people could catch up. And that was so cool to be able to watch episodes online. And then Survivor started doing it, and ABC started doing it. Mm-hmm. But there were no movies. There was no movies online. And that's when I first learned about all these different sites that were like illegal that were having all the movies. And when you're in college and you don't have any money, like that's the way you're watching movies a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And like same, I guess, with you trying to watch Twilight. And you would just like try all these different links. And occasionally you would find one that like where the sound was actually in sync with the picture. And like you'd pause it and like wait 10 minutes so that it would load and stop like buffering every 5 seconds, because like a lot of times we'd like pause every second because it wasn't loaded all the way, so you'd like let it load. Oh my god, what a time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was like the cusp of online streaming. It was just starting. And no movies. Anyway, okay. So the DVD release. By the time the DVD was released, all my roommates were kind of over Twilight, and I was just the Twilight-obsessed girl. And I think for Christmas, one of my roommates had gotten me a big Hot Topic poster of Edward. It's the one where he's like this, like, and he's like making that constipated face and looking at the camera with his first Twilight picture makeup where his face is super, super white and he looks super mean. You know the one. Mm-hmm. And so we had that on the wall, and she got me a tote bag that said, "You are my life now." Yeah, and my background on my computer was Edward Cullen. I had the shirt that just said, like, Twilight and had Edward's eyes. And it was, like, the Twilight logo.
Yeah.
And it had, like, Edward's eyes underneath it. And I thought it was super cool. And on the back, I think it said, like, "And so the lion fell in love with the lamb." And I thought it was like the perfect, like, subtle Twilight shirt. And I wore it on the day it came out, obviously. But yeah, I have this is the not so subtle Twilight shirt I have, because for Eclipse, there was no subtle Twilight shirt.
There really wasn't.
And there's just a full cartoon of Edward, and it says Edward in big letters going up the side. And for New Moon, there was no subtle one either. I literally had to get the poster on a t-shirt. Oops. I literally had to get a poster on a t-shirt.
The merch stuff, after I read them, I was buying everything. I was trying to buy everything. And I remember seeing everyone in those black Hot Topic shirts. I was like, I don't want those. Everyone has them. I want something different. And I had went on Zazzle and Cafe Express, and I had got all those like fan-made like quote t-shirts. Like, they're all so... Like, I have so many pictures of them. Like, I have...
They're so, like, trashy looking, some of these t-shirts that were on those sites.
I had, like, weird-ass sayings on them, like, Robsessed.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
this. Yeah, like, "Shh, I'm talking about Edward, don't speak to me." Like, I had like, 7 or 10 of these shirts, okay? And they all had these weird...
7 or 10.
Because I had one for every day of the week.
A random number.
Because I would wear them every single day at school. I was the Twilight girl. And it was just...
You were so embarrassing with the shirts, probably.
I was, but, like, I tried... In my mind, I thought I was fashion forward because I would pair them with, like, different cardigans and, like, different color pants. And I was like... See, everyone just wears these with jeans, and I'm going to wear them with, like, skirts and things and, like, make them fashion.
I'm going to make Robsessed fashion.
Yes. Okay, but did you go to the Midnight DVD release?
No, I wasn't going to go. See, this is the part of my life. I wasn't brave enough to do anything by myself. So I wasn't going to go with no one in Boston to this release. And like, my roommates were over it. They were like, "We've grown out of that phase." It had been 6 months, so it's like, really? You're too old for this now, you 18-year-olds. And so I got the DVD at the store the day it came out, and I watched it on my computer in my little bunk bed. And I think we talked about watching it, like me and my one roommate who really liked the books a lot, but she was busy, so watched it by myself.
I went to the midnight DVD release.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, there were midnight DVD releases, so you didn't need to get on that because you missed the movie.
I did, yeah. It was packed. Abby's mom dropped us off at Borders, and we waited in line. We played Twilight Trivia. There were, like, I remember seeing, like, really young children there dressed up as Edward and Bella, and I was like, why are they allowed to watch this? And we got the Borders, like, exclusive edition, like, with the hard, like back, and we had, you know, the multiple DVDs.
Rip Borders.
Yes. And we watched it. I watched it that night because her mom had picked us up then and then dropped me back off at my house. And then I was like, Mom, we're watching this now.
Did your mom watch it with you the first time?
Yeah. So my mom was very interested because I was so obsessed with the books, because when I was reading them during Christmas, I had a lot of emotions, and there was like one, there was like that point in New Moon where Edward leaves, and I just had a full mental breakdown and literally like curled up in her lap as she like rocked me. So she was there with me. She just didn't read them. And so like when the DVD came out and we were watching it, she's like, I need to know. And I remember every time a DVD came out, like I would sit there with her and I would watch it, but we would pause it so much because I would be explaining everything that would that happened in the book and why, like, this scene wasn't supposed to be like this.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't exactly right.
Yeah. So it was so fun for me to be able to kind of teach someone about the story in that, like, first viewing experience. And she was all game for it. Like, she just loved seeing me being so, like, enthusiastic. And I made her watch all the behind the scenes. But at that point, she's like, okay. But she still let me, because it was like a weekend. Mm-hmm.
Did she like it, or was she just like,
she did.
Oh, this is what you like? Oh, good. Yeah, good.
She did.
She enjoyed it.
She loves romance, or she loved romance. And, you know, she just didn't understand why I was so obsessive about it.
I remember when my mom was reading the books, because my mom read the books too, not just Olivia. And she called me late or early in the morning, and she was like, I haven't been able to stop reading this book. I've been up all night.
Oh my gosh.
And she was talking about Breaking Dawn. And I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. What part are you at? What's happening?
Aww.
And it was so cool to be able to do that, because I had never done that with my mom. I always would finish a book and come and tell her the entire plot. Uh-huh. Yeah. So she would just like know everything that would happen, so I could also then talk about what I thought about the plot. Because you got to give the baseline there. And so I think it wasn't till 2010 that, like, everyone I know had been, like, over Twilight. And I was still reading tons of books and wanted to talk about it with everyone. And I was like, what if I talked about books on the internet? Mm-hmm. What if I found friends over there? So we're going to take you through, like, exactly why these made such a big impact, because there's like direct moments that changed everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to know before we get to like our last big Twilight moment that we have on our little outline today, because that's why it's made such an impact. Yeah. Like, so for me, I mean, this is why I knew young adult books existed. This is why I started reading all my favorite books. This is why I thought I could write a book. Mm-hmm. This is like why I started listening. This is why I went to YouTube. So the first time I went to YouTube was to see a Hillywood parody, mm-hmm, that I heard them talking about on one of my Twilight podcasts I listened to. And so I was like, oh my God, I gotta see this parody they're talking about. It was amazing. And then I obviously subscribed to Hillywood and started exploring YouTube more, because at that time it was still like the YouTube has videos of cats time. You know, I didn't know about vloggers.
Nope.
And after the Hillywood parody, I was already making music videos with Olivia, and I was like, I want to make big videos like this. Like, I could do this. I could direct something like this. And I also found Alex Reads Twilight, and that he was reading Twilight and making fun of it. We talked about this in Fangirl Tea Time. And so I started watching vloggers I found through Alex, and that's how I knew that vlogging existed. And that's why I started thinking I should make videos about books on the internet. That's why I started a book-based YouTube channel. And that's why, like, that became my career for, like,
now.
I built a career out of talking about books because of Twilight. And then I started thinking about writing my own book because of Twilight. And I wanted to be a writer, and now I'm an author. And it is insane to me, like, how it all cruxed on this one book. Mm-hmm. And everything rippled out from there. Like, okay, even going to London, the vloggers I was watching in the very beginning lived in London. And I was like, if I'm going to study abroad, maybe I should go to London. Like, and then I went to London because of these vloggers I found because of Twilight. And it changed my entire life. And I wrote my first book about London. You know, like, it's so insane how far it ripples. And, like, so Twilight was my ripple. Twilight was like my butterfly effect on my entire life there. So, Natasha, walk us through your little steps here.
I think, like, I am who I am because of Twilight. Like, we both can say this. But it's what got me reading. And from that point on, I was always chasing that feeling of how I felt. The reading high of after I finished the book, and how much I was so enamored with this, like, romance relationship. And I wanted to read more books where I could find that feeling. And it was intoxicating.
It's an addiction, that feeling. Like, the love and enthusiasm that you get for something like that. And you just don't expect it to come so hard.
It's the catalyst that brought me to the internet. So it's what I didn't have any type of social media. I think I got Facebook like in 2008. But everyone had scared me about MySpace, so I never got MySpace. Like, all those, like, creepy email chains were like, don't get MySpace, all of this can happen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had all...
If you were in middle school when I was in middle school, MySpace was just, like, everyone had it. It was the shit.
Everyone had it
for, like, 3 years.
Well, everyone had MySpace, and then I, like, and I was in middle school, but I just never did it because I was, like, too... I was too good. I was too goody-two-shoes. But I got Twitter in 2008, and Twitter was my first social media where there wasn't anyone that I knew that I was following. Like, I was following, I got it because I wanted to keep up with the fan sites.
Following celebrities and stuff.
Celebrities.
And fan sites.
Yeah. Because at that point, after Christmas break, like, I needed to know everything that happened with the films. Like, I was obsessively following the fan sites. I was checking for updates. I wanted to build my own fan site. I in high school, I built two websites, failed.
Oh, what were their names? What were they called?
Well, one was called Moonless Night, because that was my old Twitter handle. Because my life was like a moonless night, is a quote from Twilight. My life was like a moonless night until you came into my life. And then I think I built this, like, other site where there was this website called Twilight Confessions, and people could anonymously type in their Twilight, like, their weird Twilight confessions. And I wanted to do something like that. So I had built a website similar to that where people were just, like, typing in things to do with Twilight. I remember this girl was saying how she had dropped her keys in a puddle as she was getting into her car, and she was so sad because Edward wasn't there to pick them up.
Edward didn't come and pick it up.
No.
What an iconic moment in Twilight, the book.
Yeah, so all during high school, like I just took those 4 years and I really got to learn how to code, how to make sites. I started reading fan fiction, and fan fiction honestly was probably another huge catalyst, because that's when I thought, okay, I could be writing my own stories, and I did. I started writing stories about the cast.
Can you tell us what the plot was to one of your stories, like your favorite one?
Okay. I never really wrote. I was so weird about this. I didn't love reading fan fiction if it was actually inside like the Twilight world. I loved reading alternate universe fan fiction where it was just the characters put in a different kind of like what E.L. James did with.
That's exactly what I was thinking. 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. And I had wrote fan fiction about how my family had rented a beach house, and next door, like, all the Twilight cast were renting that house because they were filming, like, the next movie.
Oh, my God.
And
they were filming the movie there.
Yes. It was, like, at La Push. And the story goes of how I like started becoming friends with like Kellan Lutz and Robert Pattinson, and how they would bring me into the film. Anyways, that was one of my fan fictions.
Oh my God, that's great. Do you still have it?
It was on one of my crashed computers a while ago. I still have the computer, so if I can get it off the hard drive, then
put it on the Patreon.
God.
No, we could read it on Fangirl Tea Time, like an excerpt.
Oh, yeah. We definitely could.
Yeah.
Did you write, like, fan fiction or little stories back then?
I wrote stories, but I didn't write any fan fiction. So okay. I was in writing courses, so I was writing all the time. And I remember, though, like, learning stuff from the way that Stephanie Meyer wrote and the way that her writing made me feel. And I would try to take what I learned from her and put it into my stories.
Would you like open the book and then like you would kind of see how she wrote it and then you would kind of like write it that way? Because that's what I would do.
No, I have a very visual memory. So I would just like remember sentences. Like I could open a book and tell you where a sentence is on a page and where it is. Like I could find it. Because I like remember it like photographically like that when I read with my eyeballs. So I would just remember certain details and why it made me feel so close to the character. And I would be like, how do I put that into what I'm writing? And I remember, so my roommate who loved to read would always read my stories and she really liked them. And it would always give me like all this great feedback. And this one time she was like, this makes me feel like when I read Twilight, like this is something that I feel like I would see in Twilight. And I was like, oh my God, that is the biggest compliment that you could give me. Thank you. She's like, yeah, little details like this and like that you relate to so much are why that book is so special. There's things that people haven't talked about that you feel and you've never heard it articulated on a page. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes Twilight so special. It's like, there is a large group of us that hadn't seen these feelings and these different emotions and stuff put on a page before. And it's so validating to have that experience that someone else is obviously feeling and going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's why we connect with any book that you really, really connect with. They see something, you see something of yourself in there that you've never seen anyone else articulate that they also feel.
I think the biggest thing that Twilight gave me was my love for the film industry and how movies were made and how you could be involved with them. I remember seeing, do you remember this? The fan site owners, like people who, the ladies who run Twilight Lexicon, Letters to Twilight, like His Golden Eyes, all of those women were invited to the set of the Twilight films.
Yep.
And I was so jealous. Wanted to be that person so bad. I mean, do you remember, like, there was a whole contest for someone to make a music video to go to the set of New Moon, and I think we all tried to do it.
I mean, mine wasn't a music video. It was like, make a video about yourself and you'll win a trip to the New Moon set. I made that video. I got a passport just in case I won.
Amazing.
I was like, Mom, I need a passport. I might need to go to Canada if I win this contest. I'm not missing this because I don't have a passport.
And that's why, like, I tried to chase that. Like, I really wanted my own website, and because I was too late in the game and I was too young. But I did create a podcast literally when I was a junior in high school. I was listening to because at that point, you know, a lot of my high school friends, because we were the ones that, you know, that stayed, you and Christine and I, we were the ones that follow Twilight until this point. And there weren't a lot of people left at school where we could have a kinship with them around Twilight.
Yes. Like, be as enthusiastic as we wanted to be. There was no one around that was going to tolerate that and be as enthusiastic as we were. And if they're not matching you, it starts to feel condescending, like we've talked about.
And I was finding those people on Twitter and going to conventions. That was the first time where I was networking, and I was in freaking high school, and these girls that I had met online, I was like, let's make a podcast. Like, we already do these like long Skype sessions where I was made my first internet friends in high school with grown women. And I produced the whole thing. I started editing. Like, it was a thing that got me, like, after school, we would record for like 2 hours, and then I would edit in GarageBand, and then I would put it up. It was called Twi Nerds United. And Christine was listening to podcasts. I was listening to like a few Twilight podcasts. The main one was Twigasm, which was a fan fiction podcast, which actually Christina Hobbs of Christina Lauren was one of the main hosts.
Oh my God. And that's so crazy.
And that's that's how I like.
That's how you found her fanfic?
I found her fanfic before but I was following them all on Twitter, and they were like, we're starting a podcast, and their podcast was hilarious. Like, I was obsessed with it. And then they stopped after I think like a year or so. I got to tell Christina this because I was 16 years old listening to their very filthy, raunchy Twigasm podcast.
I was listening to much more wholesome Twilight content. I feel like I was listening to Imprint, which was some of the MuggleCast hosts were also doing a Twilight podcast, and I loved Imprint. And I was listening to Bite Club, which was these women who have a new wine every time that they're recording, and they talk about the wine, and they talk about like something vampire related, and it was all based off of their love of Twilight, and they would read a new book every month, and The Mortal Instruments was one of their books. And a lot of the books that I started reading of young adult were the books that they were reading as their book of the month. And that's how I really ended up going to the YA section all the time, and then just finding books on my own through like, you know, the chain of different series and different following these other authors on Twitter and getting into that world. And it was once I had read like 20 books and I didn't have someone to like explode and talk about them all with that I set up my camera for the first time on me, because I was making music videos. I never spoke on camera. I didn't have the confidence to think that anyone would want to listen to me on camera. And I had a pile of books behind me, and my slogan was like, finish Twilight and want something else non-boring to read. I said non-boring, and I thought that was so funny. Looking for something non-boring to read, I'm here to help. And in my first vlog, I was talking about the Hunger Games, but I was also just like, I showed all the books I had read in the past couple months. And I was like, which one? I gave a little synopsis of all of them. I remember I held up like City of Bones and I was like, this is like good, but like the next book is way better. I sound so annoying too. I can't stand my voice in that. But Twilight made me have the confidence to step in front of a camera at all and start vlogging. And I loved it so much, and I found so many friends through that venture. So I started this originally on my comedy channel, Poland Bananas 20, and then I didn't want people who liked music videos to unsubscribe, so I created a new channel called Poland Bananas Books. And I tell this story a million times, but I don't know if you've heard it. So I, at the time, was like, I'll be lucky if I ever get 500 subscribers on this channel. And I think Poland Bananas 20 maybe had like 5,000 to like, yeah, it's probably around 5,000, because I didn't hit 10,000 subscribers till I graduated college. And in 2013 or 14, I want to say, it passed Poland Bananas 20 in subscribers. Mm-hmm. And 2012, 2011 is when my channel really started to grow. Because 2010 is when I created Poland Bananas Books. Mm-hmm. And 2011 is when I studied abroad and I started having content weekly to post.
That was like all during Twilight coming out too.
It was all during Twilight. Yeah. I missed all the big Twilight era. Yeah. Like I wasn't vlogging at that time. I had like little weird Twilight videos I had done where I like lip sunk to like, I know what you are. But like I wasn't talking about it, but I did do an Eclipse review right after I watched Eclipse. Like I had made the channel already, and I have that up, and I have a host review of the host.
You do.
I think I had read it a second time or something. But anyway, when it was at 40,000 subscribers that the book channel passed Poland Bananas 20, my comedy channel, and it was just so surreal because so many people like books. and like I found all these people because of Twilight, and now so many of my close friends are because of the book channel. Like everything has come out of that channel, and it's hard to kind of encompass it in a little paragraph here how much of my life has come out of that.
That's what I'm like, I keep trying to figure out. I think like the root of it is the people that I networked with, the people that I met because I was so obsessed with fan sites, were the people that helped me with my opportunities and my jobs later in life. Because I didn't I started writing on Page to Premiere after like Breaking Dawn had come out, because I remember talking to Amy, who is one of my oldest friends, and she's the one who took us to Forks that we talked about in our first episode. We'll have her on this podcast at some point. But I met her at my first Twilight convention, and I do the same thing now where like I see someone, I'm like, that person looks interesting, I want to be friends with them. And I did that with Amy, because she like had walked in, she was like this tall, like redheaded goddess, and I thought she was so cool, and she looked like she knew exactly what she was doing and where she wanted to be. And I saw her like interact with Peter Facinelli and Kellen Lutz, and I was like, who are you? I want to be friends. And I found her literally on Twitter, because I was stalking people from the convention and trying to figure out who all these people were that I had first met at my 16th birthday in 2009. and she was the one to get me on Page to Premiere, and that was technically my first like big job, because that was a job where I met Christine. That was a job where I had interviewed people on the red carpet. I got to go to the host premiere and interview people at the press junket, which is like the big press day before the premiere. I got to go to the premiere. It wasn't my first premiere. My first premiere was Breaking Dawn Part 1. But this was the host was the first premiere that I was working as press. And I mean, all of that started because I was so obsessed and I wanted to be involved with the movies in some sort of way, and I didn't know how to do it, and I was able to do it because of sheer will.
Yeah, I mean, when you love something so much, you find a way to be a part of it. Any way you want, any way you can. Mm-hmm. And I want to circle this back around. So there's a lot more to fill in with the other books and the other movies that I think we'll do different episodes for. But in 2018, the 20-year anniversary, no, 10-year, it has been 20 years since 2008, oh my God. The 10-year anniversary of the Twilight movie was happening, and they were doing a special event in LA, and Stephenie Meyer was doing a Q&A there. And if you've been following Stephenie Meyer for the last 10 years, she does not do many events. You know, she doesn't come out and do many things, so you don't see her. And I had first seen her in, I think, 2015. She did an event for Life and Death, the gender-flipped Twilight. And it was so amazing to finally meet her because I had never seen her in person before. And I got to do an interview. And it was, I think we'll talk about it maybe a different time. But anyway, so we had met her. And she was absolutely wonderful. She's like so down to earth and so chill and just easy to talk to. And then this Twilight anniversary was coming up and we got this email that she had asked me and Natasha to moderate the Q&A for this special video movie anniversary release event. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So we were so excited, and this was, I had Again But Better coming out the following spring, so I was still waiting to get ARCs in the mail. And in the email they asked me to bring a copy of my book because they would love to read it. And this is like Stephenie and her business partner, and I was like, oh my God. So I like contacted my publisher. I was like, Stephenie Meyer wants to read the book. Can you give me a copy of an ARC? Because I knew ARCs like were being made for Y'all Fest that was about to happen in a month, but they weren't there yet. And they overnighted me two copies for her and Megan, who is her business partner.
They run,
right? Her name's Megan? Yes.
They run
Fickle Fish Films. And so we go to this event. How are you feeling leading up to this? Like, I was so excited.
I had just started my job at Amaryllis, and I just remember being like, I need to take a day off. I did, this is so important to me. Like, I need to be there. This has to happen. And luckily, like, they understood and they let me go. It's just such a full circle moment. I think for the both of us, it was absolutely insane that we got to do this and that we were asked to do this.
I have it marked down. It's like one of the best days of my life. It literally was. I have a vlog of it. I'm so happy I vlogged it. And it's called The Best Day Ever and like hanging with Stephenie Meyer. I can link it in the show notes if you're interested in watching it, because it really is like the most amazing full circle moment for both of us. And we have dinner beforehand, and I have like printouts of our questions, and our questions had to be approved ahead of time. And I had these questions. They did, right? I think they had to be approved ahead of time, because I remember being surprised that my questions about Midnight Sun were not asked to be taken off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh. I'm going to get to ask Stephenie Meyer about Midnight Sun. What even? Oh, my God. So we get to the event, and I think we do the Q&A first before we do anything else, right? And it goes so well, right? I just remember it going really well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all...
Stephanie had... like, she had already, like, figured out all of her answers to the questions, so it just ran so smoothly.
It went so smooth. Natasha and I had already marked off which questions we were going to ask her on the sheet, like which one I'm going to ask, which one she's going to ask. And we had like three director's chairs in front of the big screen, and Stephenie sat in the middle of us. And I wish I had given a camera to somebody to take pictures, because we have like one far away picture.
I know. This
event. And during the thing, Stephenie Meyer answers that she has been working on Midnight Sun. And up on stage, I am like flipping my shits because I can't believe, like, this was like the first time she said that. We were like breaking this news. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely insane. And she talked about Jacob Renesmee book that she has completely outlined, and she doesn't know if it's like three books. It could be up to three books. So I am flipping my shits giddy as fuck sitting up there. And after Natasha, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then I did not know we were going to get time to separately each interview Stephanie Meyer for our channels. Like, I couldn't, it just, it was unbelievable. So I, you know, I just, like, based off of what we heard, I obviously had questions to ask, even though we had it, like, prepped for this. I don't remember what you, I was, like, blacked out when I was filming yours.
I don't even remember what I had asked her, because it was just, like, we were not prepared. I do remember us being in a little room behind the theater.
Yeah, first we were in the hallway for these interviews, like, of the movie theater, like, against the wall. In LA Live. Like, you don't remember what you asked? I don't remember what you asked either.
It's in, I have an unreleased Forks vlog with all of this footage that I should probably put up on my channel. It's all edited too.
You never released it?
Well, because I had,
it's edited?
I had someone edit it for me and it wasn't like to my liking, but now I've let that go. So it's going to go up at some point.
Yeah, you should just post it. I want to see it. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the Forks trip that I didn't ever post mine because I didn't get good enough footage, I felt like, to put it together. But so I ask her about Midnight Sun now and about and about this Jacob Renesmee book, and I'm just like, I'm like buzzing with excitement, and I now have this interview where I get to tell the world that she worked on Midnight Sun. What the actual Fork? Like, I couldn't believe it. And I was so excited. And she's just so nice and so easy to talk to. It was wonderful. Yeah. And then we go into this little room. And I have given my books to Megan, I think. The copies of Again But Better. But she brings us into the room because she's like, Stephanie wants you to sign the copy for her. Now, let me just tell you, this is my first arc of Again But Better. I haven't signed any books. Like, this is the first time physically seeing the book in person. And I'm giving it to Stephanie Meyer. And, like, she's the reason I thought I could write a book in the first place. And it was, again, like, such a surreal moment where she, like, opened the flap and gave it to me. And, like, I didn't even know what to write, you know? Like, how do I thank Stephanie Meyer for everything that her book has done for me? It was just absolutely unbelievable. And I signed the book and she was so nice. And we got, like, a picture and video of her doing it. It's in the vlog. And yeah, it's like one of the most full circle moments of my life. So fucking surreal. And I just remember, like, collapsing. I couldn't stand for a second because I was trying to write in her book. I had to, like, squat because I was just so overwhelmed. And I was, like, just, like, laughing. Like, why am I signing a book for Stephanie Meyer? But yeah, it was absolutely insane. What do you remember about that room? Because, like, that's all I really remember.
I mean, I remember being very excited that you were signing your first arc and it was going to Stephanie Meyer. And I had asked her to sign an apple. She was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, she was just joking about signing an apple. I'm like, I want you to sign an apple so bad. And then we held it together, like the cover of the book for my photo.
Yes. Yeah. And then I was like, can I get one like that too?
Yeah, but we had like a good 20 minutes of just like hanging out with Stephanie in that little back room. So after we did the Twilight 20th anniversary celebration, we get a gift box of like caramel apples and it says from Stephanie Meyer. And I'm like, Stephanie Meyer sent me a gift?
I like barely remember that because I couldn't eat.
I mean, I was just so excited. I've gotten another gift from her too because of Midnight Sun, because of the pomegranate. Because I remember she sent like a ceramic pomegranate with a necklace in it. Because we had, did you get that too?
I don't think I ever got it. I remember them talking. We had a meeting and we were going to do something for Midnight Sun, but ultimately I ended up, it was going to be sponsored and I just wanted to be able to read Midnight Sun on my own time. And I just, and just say whatever I felt. And I felt weird about taking on the sponsorship. Yeah, so I did not.
Yeah, we both did. But I remember getting that gift and that was from Stephanie as well.
Yeah, it's just been a very magical, life-changing thing being a part of this fandom for both of us. And before we wrap up and do Fangirl Tea Time, and Fangirl Tea Time today, we're going to be talking about two little more personal Twilight stories that were really exciting, but more personal. And if you want to sign up for our Patreon, there's a link in the description, but there's lots of fun perks over there. But before we wrap that up, I think we should just talk a couple fun Twilight questions. Like, who was your favorite character outside of Ella, Edward and Bella? We got to cover the basics here.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show my type, but I was also obsessed with Emmett, the big bear.
Of course you were.
It's so funny because, like, at the Twilight conventions, like, you, like, it was, of course you liked Edward and Bella, but it was like, what other character did you align yourself with? You know, like, who was your person? And, like, you would be known as, like, the Carlisle person or the Esme person. So I was the Emmett person.
See, I didn't really have a second person. I was all in on Edward. Mm. And so to answer this question, I was like, I don't know. Like, I guess it's Alice because I liked her as a character because I felt like she was on Bella's side. Sorry, my nose is running from like half crying before. Okay. Yeah, and then I was like, maybe Jacob now. At the time, I hated Jacob in the beginning. Like, I just wanted him out of the picture because he was annoying me with his threats to Edward. But I also loved Charlie, and I loved Seth. Mm. I remember I thought Seth was so adorable. Yes. And he was like the precious cinnamon roll of Breaking Dawn. And I was like, we must protect Seth at all costs. So in the Breaking Dawn movie, I think Seth is almost killed. I guess I shouldn't say anything, but I was very upset in that moment because I think if I had to pick someone, it would probably be Seth, who I was like, oh, I love this person so much, other than Edward. I really wanted to like Rosalie because she was like the blonde girl. So I was like, oh, that's me in this book. But then she was such a bitch all the time, no matter what. Like, I tried so hard. I was like, she has a heart of gold in there somewhere, but she really doesn't. She just wants a kid and she's still not that nice to everyone around her. It's like, I can you just please be civil? She always has to make a remark that's obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah, I really try to like her too, and I love Nikki Reed, and just the wigs though, it was bad hair.
That's why you didn't like her?
No. Oh my God. I like Rosalie, honestly. I had memorized her whole monologue in Eclipse. I was like, I'm gonna be Rosalie. Like, she had the coolest outfits in my opinion. I liked her. Who was your least favorite?
Okay, least favorite character was Lauren. And Lauren just has completely disappeared from the Twilight universe. I don't know if you guys remember, she had a human friend named Lauren who was really annoying and mean. And in the movie, she's like combined with Jessica. Yeah. And she's not in the gender flipped book, Life or Death. And she's not in Midnight Sun. I was like, where the hell is Lauren?
Really?
Where is she? I never see her name. Lauren isn't here. It's like she's disappeared from the universe. And I'm like, did I make Lauren up? Mm-mm. No, I did not make Lauren up. She existed. And I mean, I also, when I was remembering Lauren, I was like, remember Mike Newton's like hiking store, like a sporting goods store that Bella worked at? Because I just haven't thought about that in so long because I've only been rereading Twilight over and over and over again. Like, I reread Life and Death and it was like rereading Twilight. And then I reread Midnight Sun and it was like rereading Twilight. And I'm like, we have to reread Midnight Sun because it's been so long that I've forgotten these little details.
And you mean Twilight, not Midnight Sun?
I meant we need to reread New Moon. I don't want to reread Midnight Sun. I did it, and I'm done with Edward's point of view forever. I've had enough of him. We'll do a different episode about Midnight Sun.
I mean, I truly hated Jacob. He was just so annoying. I was like, go away. You don't need to be here.
We all felt that way, didn't we? Or I guess there were some people.
And then, I mean, I guess the other one would be Irina. Like, she's so fucking stupid. Like, come on, girl.
Oh, my God. I know. Ugh. Not even thinking about her. I just put her out of my mind. She's so dumb and annoying. And, of course, she's played by Shannon from Lost.
Maggie Grace.
Who was also very annoying. The thing is, when I read New Moon, and I don't know, I knew that Jacob wasn't going to be Endgame. So when I was hearing all this, like, Team Jacob, Team Edward bullshit, I was like, this is dumb. We already have Breaking Dawn. There's no Team Jacob. Like, it's only Edward. So it was just a marketing ploy, and it was, like, the first time I think a book series has really used a marketing ploy like that. It was just being the first time I saw that being a thing was when Jennifer Aniston and Brad broke up and it was like Team Jen and Team Angelina or something, which is like so uncalled for, but it's so early 2000s. Like, everyone was up in everyone's business in the most toxic ways. And so this book, I mean, Twilight came out in 2005. So we were still in that era where, like, I think this was happening with celebrities, and this was the first time it was really exploited for book marketing, for Eclipse. Mm-hmm. And it worked so well because everyone wanted to pick a team. Everyone wanted to have an opinion, and it gave you that outlet to, like, choose a side and buy all the merch and, like, get really excited for defending your side. It was genius, honestly. And then, like, from then on, there was, like, Team Gale, Team PETA. Like, they tried to replicate it, but nothing was like this original one. All right. Well, that was our Twilight special spectacular. I think we're going to wrap it up real quick with a fuck, marry, kill. Bump, 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 ba-dump, bump. All right. Fuck, marry, kill today. We've got Mike Newton, Eric something, I can't remember his last name, and Charlie Swan. Who are you murdering and marrying today, Charlie Swan. Natasha? I don't know if I'd want to marry Charlie. Like, he's funny, but he's
a little,
like,
boring. I don't know. They all live in Forks, know. You know. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot to pick from here. I don't know. I feel like. I don't know. Mike's like a puppy dog. Eric is there. I guess I'll fork Mike and I will kill Eric. There.
I think I'm going to marry Mike Newton because he's fun and very enthusiastic and is, you know, feels very supportive. And I think I am going to F Eric and Cliff Charlie. I'm so sorry, Charlie. Like, sorry, Charlie. You're going off the cliff. I feel like Mike would make a really solid husband. Like, those golden retriever qualities are nice in a hubby. And Charlie is just kind of, he sits and watches TV and he's kind, but I want someone who's, like, more excitable.
Yeah.
Eric's excitable too, so he might be fun. I just think we don't get to know him as much because he's with Angela. Yeah, that was our Twilight special. We would love to hear your Twilight stories. And I think if you want to send one in, like, mm-hmm. I feel like we could make an episode in the future out of talking about these different, the impact that Twilight has had on other people's lives. So if you want to email us at thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com with any stories or any thoughts or any ideas for future episodes, please do so. Like we were saying at the beginning of this episode, mm-hmm. like, we love to hear your feedback. Like, leave us comments on Instagram. Please leave us comments on the YouTube, please, if you have any thoughts, because it's so weird putting something up and not getting thoughts. Like, I'm getting used to it, but also I miss it. I like to hear your feedback. So hit us up with any feedback on any of our platforms. You can follow us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls. You can follow us on Twitter at Fork Fangirls Pod, or you can follow us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel at youtube.com/Those Forking Fangirls. I think that's where you'll find it now. I think now we have a handle, but you can just search for Those Forking Fangirls and it will come up. And we make sure you're following us on your favorite podcast app, and we're gonna go record Fangirl Tea Time, and all the links to everything we talked about are in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here today. Natasha, you have anything to add?
No.
you good? All right, have a great holiday weekend. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we will see you next Friday.
Bye.
Woo! Bye.
This is Twilight.
If no one got that.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.